Hello and welcome to The Intersection. We're the podcast where marketing, sales, operations, and technology stop working in silos and start driving real growth for building materials brands. I'm Megan Kavinsky, CEO of Point to Point. We're a sales and marketing agency helping mid-market building materials manufacturers build the marketing engine and sales culture they've never had and always wanted. Each episode, I'm joined by Steve Coffey, Senior Managing Partner of Coffey & Co., a growth and strategy firm focused in building materials, and Deneen Harper, founder of DHX Consulting and a fractional CMO for, you guessed it, building materials brands. We're here to close the gaps between marketing and sales, strategy and operations, technology and execution, because in those gaps, you bleed margin. And we're going to show you how to stop it. No fluff, just what works. Hello, and welcome to The Intersection. My name is Megan Kavinsky. I am one of the co-hosts. I'm also the CEO of Point to Point. We're a marketing firm built for mid-market building materials manufacturers. And I'm joined today by my esteemed colleagues, Steve Coffey. He's Senior Managing Partner of Coffey & Co., a growth and strategy firm in building materials, and Deneen Harper, founder and fractional CMO of DHX Consulting. And Deneen is also a partner in the Coffey & Co. business. So you've probably noticed that I've already said the word building materials like four or five times, because that's what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the building materials industry, and we're here to talk about what happens in those moments between product and marketing and sales and operations, because it's those points where your business touches, where the magic happens or it doesn't. And we want to make sure that the magic is happening. So the topic today is something that we're talking to our clients and others in the industry about all the time, which is you bought the software and nobody uses it. So we mean you have an ERP, you have a CRM, you have all the tools, all the things in place, but your team is still operating. The core of your business is in spreadsheets, side conversations, other tools that you've modified for unintended uses. And it's not the vision of what you thought you were building. And this is all too common. So if you're feeling this pain, don't feel bad. You're in good company.
Thank you, Megan. And it is really good to be here on this podcast with both of you. I'm really excited to be talking about this topic specifically. So just to reiterate even a little bit of what you just said in what I've experienced across many conversations with mid-market manufacturers all the way up to enterprise organizations. And one of the problems, or I'd say one of the patterns that you start to see when you spend time inside mid-market enterprise organizations is the significant gap that often exists between what technology stack they've purchased and then how teams actually operate cross-departmentally. So on paper, a business can look really modern. In discussion, they can seem very put together in terms of how they're utilizing software and technology across departments. So they will have an ERP. They will always have a CRM. There could be a certain level of marketing automation. There's always some manner of dashboards or some visualization tool or something. And so the investment, I think, is many times very significant, very real. And in some cases, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. In some cases, it can be millions of dollars in software costs and infrastructure in a given year. But when you step into the day-to-day reality, that's when you see a very different story. So and that's what you were speaking to, Megan. The sales team is still managing deals in spreadsheets or, you know, depending on their size, managing what I think is the worst, managing deals and relationships in their heads. So whether you have 100 sales reps, depending on how you go to market, whether you're selling direct, whether it's commercial, residential, whatever it may be, most often what I see is the vast majority of deal information or data points exists in the sales reps' heads, as does the experience that can be attained from those data points. And what I see is that pipeline stages naturally are going to be inconsistent or outdated. So the software that you're spending $200,000 a year on, you're only utilizing about $20,000 worth of that software, right? If that is the case specifically with sales teams. So you end up with a situation where the company is paying for a system of record, but the business is still running on memory and just learned tribal knowledge if it's a third, fourth generation company, right? And so the real issue that I see over the course of many conversations with these manufacturers is that nobody ever defined what the system or the piece of technology is supposed to do for the business and selected the system on based on how that specific product goes through the facility and then is shipped to the job site or distributor or wherever it goes. What information needs to exist to win the deal, where it should live, who's responsible for it, and who can and should access it. So the system ends up serving reporting instead of actual execution, and the team works around it. So the companies that are winning are focusing on that intersection where softwares can contribute data, can data sets can speak to one another, all of those different components. They are able to reduce lead times. They're actually able to cover more market ground with better insight and thus grow their market share, whether it be revenue, amount of product moving out the facility, whatever growth looks like to you. And so when you align those systems and the software is working and affecting actual execution boots on the ground, that's where it becomes successful. I don't see that happening in the vast majority of companies that I interact with. And I'm sure you both could say the same. There's an old stat that's a couple years old. Gartner has been saying that roughly 70% of digital transformation initiatives fail. So most companies are in a bucket where, you know, we just went through an ERP change. We just, you know, bought a new CRM, or we've been existing in this CRM for a long time. So we don't want to make a change. And so that behavior doesn't change. And I think that's a real breakdown. And I think a lot of companies are leaving a lot of growth potential on the table. Again, whatever that growth may be, and a lot of momentum on the table as a result. So that's what I see. And I think that's why all of our heads were on this topic for this podcast episode. And I really think there's a lot of ways that companies can grow. Here's a question for you both, being more on the marketing side in how marketing teams are using data. And I was thinking about this morning, what information, just talking about, you know, let's say CRM or marketing tools and things like that in the broader software suite that a company is using, what information do you absolutely need from sales in order to make marketing decisions that impact pipeline? What is the information that you absolutely need from sales to impact pipeline? And where often do you see that breaking down? Those softwares not talking to each other, marketing not able to access or be informed by that.
Well, a couple things just to piggyback on what you were saying there, Steve. One, good news for anyone listening, we're not here to tell you that you need to throw it all out and that you need to start from scratch, right? Our focus here and our philosophy is really, how do we take what you have and make it the best that it can be before we figure out what else might need to be added or removed, right? And so that's really going to be a lot of what we talk about, is getting the most out of what you currently have, right? The other thing that I'm laughing at is that this is just so present for me, because this is something that we've been dealing with. We have a client that did a Salesforce implementation a couple years ago, and the data was never set up correctly at the start of the implementation. And now we've gotten them out of a third-party email platform and into Salesforce MCAE, but our ability to do segmentation and to take action, even at like some base things like, are you an architect or are you a dealer? Or if you are an architect, like, it's very important for us to know, because the architectural mindset is different if you are doing hospitality or if you're in, you know, K to 12 education, or are you doing data centers? You know, like, what kind of architect are? And so those things aren't set up correctly. And we're really struggling to be able to get the appropriate communications out the door, because we don't even know, like, who this person really is with the way the data was configured. So now we've spent a lot of money getting into MCAE and getting it set up, but that and the premise and the benefit was, hey, we're in the CRM, we have a full view of the customer, but the starting point of the view of the customer is not correct, you know? And so now we're working through, okay, what do we do about this? Yeah, so Deneen, what do you see?
That's a really good point, Megan, because I see that a lot of times too. The CRM's not set up properly. There's data that's missing, or the attribution to the data source where that prospect is coming in is not correct. And in a lot of cases, sales can go in and actually rewrite some of that data. And the other issue that I see a lot is that connectivity across multiple different platforms. So you know you have data from customer service, from ops, from marketing, from sales, but there's no place that you can bring all of that data together and look at it in like a big picture view so that you can really understand how that rolls into revenue and rolls into lifetime value and other customer metrics that are really important.
I think we're also seeing this issue become exacerbated as, or it's becoming more relevant how layered it is as people try and implement AI solutions, right? Because that's been the challenge. You know, I think there's a lot of data out there that a lot of companies are trying to build things using AI, but the projects are getting stalled because actually what they're trying to build it on top of doesn't have the right data. And as much as AI can help one both solve some of the data challenges, it still needs that clean data at the core to be able to make the right recommendations and have the right knowledge base, you know, for the business overall. So it's only as good as what you put into it. The AI is only as good as what you're able to put into it.
That's another great point. Clean data is a lot more difficult than you think. A lot of people think they have clean data, but then the way that they formulate data, they take this piece to this piece and add them together to come up with a different metric. A lot of times that's flawed and they don't realize that their formulas and the way that they're pulling the data actually adds a variant that they're not looking at.
Mm-hmm. So you brought up AI. So let's
go
down that trail.
I mean, yeah. We've been talking for like almost 10 minutes and nobody has said it, you know. So.
It's inevitable. But just going down that briefly, and not to veer away from our topic of how the software suite interact with each other between departments. So let's say, just for discussion sake, sales and marketing, right? Ops with ERP, MRP, whatever it may be. And then you have CRM, whatever marketing automation tools exist, however they go to market. Then you have sales also operating within CRM. So not veering away from that, but in talking about AI specifically, I find, and I want to ask you both what you see, but I find a lot of companies are talking about AI, very intelligent people, very intelligent C-suite teams, talking about AI still at the level that it is simply a widget or a tool that can be bolted onto an existing software, which many companies and softwares are bolting on AI tools and widgets to use so sales teams can write better emails, right? And I find a lack of, I think what I would refer to as a broader level of thinking in how AI can be, should be utilized within an organization, what machine learning, which is, I would view as a component of AI, what that actually is. And what I find myself doing in those conversations is almost starting out at an educational level. This is what AI is. So AI is not just ChatGPT that your sales team is using, or a Claude project that your marketing team is using to write better copy. You need to look at it as an actual software application that can sit across different suites different programs, CRM, ERP, can access data sets and allow them to communicate better so that marketing and sales can communicate more effectively. And just essentially step away from the widgets and the tools and look at how AI can be used across the organization, small companies all the way up to large enterprise level companies. So that's what I find myself doing. How do you both see companies in a, let's say, you know, mid-market manufacturers, how do you see them utilizing AI right now? Is it just more so on the widget and tool side, or are they talking about it in the broader level of what AI and machine learning actually is?
So in my opinion, actually architecture firms are doing a better job with AI for more advanced business use cases than building product manufacturers are doing right now. So in my world, I think a lot of my clients, and you have to walk before you run. So a lot of clients are doing, just getting started actually with some of the basic things, like what's our enterprise tool that we're using? Is it chat? Is it Claude? Is it Cowork? Copilot, and putting some parameters on what people can and cannot use. Because there's also, you know, in sales and in market, there's a lot of proprietary sensitive customer data that you got to make sure that you're not just dumping out there into the internet. And so they're at the phase of getting an AI policy in place. They're at the phase of, you know, getting an enterprise tool in place. And they're at the phase of like, okay, let's identify some of those use cases of what those repetitive daily tasks are that could be automated that we can start leveraging AI for. And they're still more at that level, probably where we all were 18 months, 2 years ago. That's where they are at this point in time. They are awakening to this idea that there's more that can be done, right? And they understand that, but they're still trying to figure it out. And a lot of them, I'm sort of the first one teaching them, like, let me show you what I do. And they're like, whoa, you know, like, I can't even believe, like, that was so easy. I'm like, yeah, you need to be adopting this. Like, it will help you elevate your thinking. It is a thinking partner for you. But yesterday I also talked to an architecture firm, and they had some great things that they were doing. They had really two solid use cases for AI that had freed up something like, I can't remember the exact stats, but something like 80% of some of the time that something used to take, they reduced it by 80%. And their two were takeoffs. And then they had also put in all of the permitting that they had been, all their permitting rejections. They created a knowledge base of those. And then they were running all of their new projects through it to make sure, like, what are the watch outs and what can I apply to this project to improve like what their submittal would look like. And it's had a huge impact on their business. And he said, I asked him, so what have you done with the time that the team got back from doing those things? And he said, well, we've been able to take on more clients. We only take on jobs where we know we can do a great job and we have the bandwidth to support them. We have more demand than we have arms and capacity. It's like, so it's totally increased our capacity because it's some of that more tedious work that takes so much time that we're able to get more through the system now. So I thought that was a more advanced application than what I've seen a lot of my clients do so far. They have dreams, but not as much in reality. Deneen, what are you seeing? Are you seeing similar things? Or tell me more about what your experience has been.
I think where a lot of manufacturers are really looking at AI is in the supply chain. How can they help with procurement? How can they simplify that ordering process so that the flow from order through delivery is quicker, more seamless? And then how can they learn from that? So a lot of plants are looking at how do they reorganize their plant to optimize flow. And when you look at that supply chain and you look at that flow all the way through the process, you can start to see where things break down. So I think there's, you know, those kinds of quick, easy, off the top type of projects that are starting now. But where I'd really like to see manufacturers go is looking at all of these things holistically, bring that into strategic planning. How are these things going to start driving revenue? And when you have, back to the data point, when you have all of that data now that you can bring to a single central area, you can start seeing things and patterns that you've never seen before. And those are the things that are really going to help you drive the business, really grow that revenue, and really cut down on your inefficiencies.
So I want to come back to that, but I also want to take a minute here to just ask our listeners, if you're finding value in this conversation and you see yourself and your company, and there's others in your company that would benefit from this, or you were talking to a peer that's struggling with similar types of things, if you could take a minute to subscribe to the podcast and then share the episode, that would be great. So I'll give you a second here to do that. Okay, emailing's easy. And then we'll get back into it. So I think one of the most fascinating things that I've seen recently on the ERP, CRM part of this is I have a couple clients that were on NetSuite or are on NetSuite, and it was a pain, right?
I'm like, sorry to hear
NetSuite
that.
NetSuite is
they're all a pain.
They're all a pain.
Microsoft 360 Dynamics. Yeah, I mean, all of them.
Yeah, they're all a pain. Yeah. But the integration of Claude into NetSuite and what you are able to get back out, it went from like, you know, 0 to 60 in terms of what the tool could deliver in terms of value. Because one of the biggest things with NetSuite is that it is the visualization of the information is just one of the worst, you know. And so when you're able to apply Claude on top of it, the amount of progress we were able to make with things like what you were just talking about, Deneen, was incredible. So it really did help shore up some of those gaps or made it easier for us to begin to identify, okay, how will we get this data, this data that's still going maybe from a paid media campaign into a spreadsheet, and then the spreadsheet gets either manually entered or somehow data appended into it. I mean, it was able to make the whole thing work to the point where literally at the end of last year, we had been doing a major data cleanup and we had engaged someone to help with some dashboarding that it was like, well, that was a great idea 90 days ago, but now it's obsolete. Like, look what we can do like on our own, right? You know, so it just changed so fast.
I think that quick change is the other reason why a lot of larger companies and even mid-market are holding back on major implementations, unless they view it as something that's very scalable. They can implement the small LLMs, start to sync data, have it talk to each other, and then how do you scale that? And I think that's really where the next conversation is going to be 3 months, 6 months, 12 months from now.
Yeah, I think that's right, Deneen. I see a couple dilemmas as well occurring as companies are trying to figure out how to do that. We're in an environment now where, let's say a solid year ago, a software would take 6 months and it had to go through a kind of a more traditional build, a tool, a widget in how a company could, you know, build an AI component, add it onto their existing software. Now IT teams can vibe code that in 2 months. But the problem is without going a traditional, you know, senior engineer route, companies are going to have all of these vibe coded tools mixed with, you know, Excel sheets and all these different things that are going to make that scalability very difficult. And systems are going to start to break down. Also, those systems then could be acting on assumed information because an LLM could be getting it wrong or misinterpreting the data. So there's all kinds of dilemmas here. But what I'm hearing you both say is essentially, if we could do it like this, the way companies are using AI as it relates to how systems intersect and how they can intersect is falling into a couple different buckets. And I heard two major buckets. The AI tool, the component, either saves time by doing the work more in the more agentic world, or is improving decisions by analyzing the data. Okay. So I see, you know, the way that a lot of companies are using AI, whether it would be a tool or whether it would be directly with an, you know, over the counter LLM, is one, task automation, right? So removing repetitive work. Megan, I think you had mentioned that. Emails, data entry, notes, removing that, that time suck.
Not having exactly. To take meeting notes anymore. Life-changing.
Yes.
And then, God forbid, I'm in a meeting where my note taker doesn't show up and I don't realize it. I'm like, this happened to me yesterday. I'm like, oh my goodness. I now did not take notes. Yeah. And I'm going to have to do this from memory and use like, oh my word, what is going to happen?
And memory is never as good as those transcripts.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So
I think we're hop, skipping, and jumping away from forgetting how to write and remember entirely. Oh my God. It's a very dangerous.
That's why they stop. That's why they don't teach handwriting anymore in school.
don't get my husband started on cursive. So my hope is, Steve, I mean, that is my fear, that like our brains are atrophying and we're losing critical reasoning skills. I definitely worry more about that for my kids than myself. I worry about my brain atrophying for different reasons, more the phase of life that I'm in. But I think that my hope is that we're using our brains for different things, you know, that instead of note-taking, we're really like synthesizing and taking all, like that we can just use this to really elevate the quality of what we're doing. Like, I do think that AI is like, God, I wish that I could say it the way that AI says it. Cause it's like, it's what's in my head, but I can't quite get it out. Or, mm-hmm. you know, where you get that thought partner that really does help you like look at different angles and get it to play devil's advocate. Like, why does this idea work? Why doesn't this idea work? And the things that you wouldn't have had the time to do before, you can do so quickly and you can build a better, more robust thought process. But you have to know what good looks like, and you have to know what questions to ask, you know. So that's sort of my hope and my fear all together. But go back to where you were.
Well, no, that's very good. And that, I think that exists across all of these categories that we're talking about, but that directly relates to task automation and the redundant work that we're all doing, sales reps having note takers, or using, I think it's Plod or it's a little tool, just sits on their lapel and records all the sales calls, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And that goes into a large database. So there's task automation, but then specific to AI or machine learning, there's also content generation, right? Creating things faster. And I think to your point, Megan, we should all be using AI to do better work and faster work, not replacing our work, right? Mm-hmm. And not replacing our thinking and our ability to critically think, which LLMs prove to be getting better at, but still not up to snuff. And then there's also data extraction. I think that's another category where companies can use AI and machine learning. So there's task automation, content generation, and then data extraction, which is pulling from a large source of messy input. So PDF, spec sheets over here, all of these different things. Then there's also stepping more towards the agentic world, where there would be assistants and co-pilots, where tools are actually going and doing things on their own based on user, not just returning user input. They're actually going and doing things. And that's becoming more ubiquitous. You know, agents are buggy, and it's really hard for a company to go and trust an agent or build something. But that does exist. And then the other AI application is decision support, guiding what do we do next? Right?
Governance.
Which lead do we call? How do I spend my morning as a sales rep? What leads do I focus on as a marketing manager here? All of those type of things. And then there's also agentic workflows. So follow-ups, which, you know, goes down into the tactical world of marketing and sales, but also on the ops floor, in the facility floor. What information cycles back to procurement or purchasing, right? We've got this many inputs in this workstation. Is there information that can go to purchasing and procurement to lessen lead times, right? And to bring down lead times. And so all of that is possible. So I look at that as two major buckets, going back to what we were talking about, is these tools are either saving time or improving decisions. And I would say, you know, when companies are inputting tools and widgets, or they're looking at a broader application of how AI can be used, they are working on a car that is going down the road, right? You can't have a lot of downtime. And that's why a lot of people drop off when you talk about, you know, your technology stack, and is it good? And should you get a new ERP? A lot of companies are in the process of buying a new ERP. With all of the consolidation that's happening in the industry, now you have a lot of different systems across different divisions or branches or companies that now have to interact with each other. So, you know, there's a lot of decisions being made. So you're working on a car that is very fast going down the road, and that can be very difficult. It's possible. And that's where I think I see a lot of companies vibe coding tools. And so they're building and spinning up things and, you know, using Azure or Claude and just, you know, sucking up tokens, doing one of those things that we just listed. And so I think understanding how all of that can be utilized is really important. And I do think there's a huge amount of opportunity. It's not just problematic. The opportunity exists. Deneen, I was sharing an example with you the other day, but one example that I've seen is we had a company that we were talking to and they needed to, they had systems that did not talk to one another, siloed data sets, a lot of information, a lot of sales insight that their new reps could be utilizing, but C-suite wanted to analyze existed within their CRM. Marketing had a lot of information in all of their platforms that they were utilizing. The ERP system was siloed. They didn't interact with it. And then also other systems all throughout the C-suite the software stack that they were using. And so nothing communicated. And so there's a vast amount of information that they can use to make fast and accurate decisions to increase margin, decrease lead time. A lot of insight there. And they're thinking, what on earth do we do? Let's blow everything up. Let's buy a new software. It's going to work. And they're headed for a very, very difficult process, right? IT team will say,
that's going to be exactly. Slow. That's going to be slow, is the, you know, to do all of
100%.
That.
100%.
And it's costly. Never going to be what you think it's going to be,
but
at
it's
the
still
end.
Not gonna,
exactly. Yeah. And it may not be, it actually may not be the software. It could just be in the way that a product is built, goes through a facility floor, packaged, and shipped out to a job site. The system wasn't installed based on how that happens, how that work happens. So it may not be the software. So a lot of companies will make the decision, let's blow everything up, buy a new software, when in actuality, they might not need to do that. So an example is we had a company, it was a decking product, and they had all these systems that were not communicating to one another. And we said, you actually don't need a new software. You can build essentially a widget, right? A tool that can lay across, like a blanket, lay across all of your tools, mine the appropriate information, and then be put into a dashboard. So I explained it like this, old school group of guys. So I described it like this. I said, we're going to build a box, right?
Building materials in an old school group of guys?
We're going to build a box.
Yeah. It's unheard of.
Be that as it may, so it was. I said it's a box, and we're going to install AI machine learning capability underneath that, right? A software. We're going to put it underneath. We're going to go and take accounting data, ERP data on how, you know, your inventory, all of these different things, sales data, and we're going to put all those data sets in the box, and then we're going to go out and get additional information, design trends, right? Mm-hmm. You know, southeastern United States, what decks are people building? What's the size? What's the color? What's trending? You know, what is Magnolia doing? What are all these companies? What's the trend? And also put that in the box, that insight, whatever it would look like and however we can extrapolate that, put that in the box. And then we build a dashboard that your teams can interact with. And therefore you have a marketing team that has access to all the sales. You have market information. You have ops information and you have sales team data. And now they can interact and pinpoint marketing campaigns to say, in southeastern United States, we know that this color is going to trend and we are in April and this type of decking board sells really, really heavily in this distributor or this lumberyard or this region. So now marketing can pinpoint advertising campaigns to the end user, right? And create that pull through. Sales now has a much stronger relationship with that dealer. So they can go and say, hey, we know your sales are going to pick up with this color. It's trending. We've already got campaigns running. You are going to see product, you know, being pulled through here. How can we help you? Right.
And on the outside, make sure you have this. They can boost inventory.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And drop that lead time. Right.
That sounds like nirvana. That sounds like, you know, getting you just told a story about the intersection where sales and marketing and product are all on operations, all on the same page. And you didn't have to throw out your legacy infrastructure. You just had to really, use, you know, AI, I guess, as an additional tool, but a way to get it all connected better and faster.
Yeah.
So, Steve, that's a wonderful story. And I think that's a great place of enlightenment and positivity for us to leave our listeners. What advice would you give someone listening to our podcast? What are the three things or, you know, a couple of things they could do and go back and start a conversation about this in their organization? What are the big takeaways that if you're listening to this right now and you're like, you talked about so much, where do I even get started in sharing this? What would you recommend there?
Yeah, so I think just to put it concisely, Megan, it is a little bit nuanced based on the software that the company is currently utilizing and their capability for onboarding a new software. Some companies are in a really good position to switch platforms. Some are not. And that's where an application like we're just talking about could apply. So where I would say then you should start is naturally, and this is a bit of common sense, right? And a lot of teams have already done this to some degree, but a company needs to define how work should happen. Align its data around that workflow, and then use the technology to support it, not the other way around. So yes. IT should not be saying, I don't like this. I don't like Microsoft. So let's use this Oracle product over here. And then they buy that new software because IT likes it. It should not be done like that. You should define how work should happen, align the data structure around that workflow, and then use technology to support it. So I would reiterate it like this: as a leadership team, starting from the customer back, which was, I think, your point, Megan, define what matters, what information is needed to win here, align it where it should live, right? One source of truth. And then most importantly, assign ownership, right? Who captures and uses it, and then apply the tools. And then that would include automate and improve it, right? So where then that process can be automated, install those tools. That's where agentic AI can come into place.
Yeah.
And then have a system in place that continually improve that and identify the constraints and facilitate scalability with whatever the software suite you are using is. And sometimes you might need to sit down with a company and say, what does this look like? Do we need to blow everything up? Can we start with where we are? Should we stay with the software stack that we have? So that assessment needs to happen, but then you need to align the technology to how the work should happen, assign that ownership, and then apply the tools. So get the workflow right, then let technology and AI amplify it. So that's a really concise way. I think there's a much broader conversation we can have there, but I think that's a really concise way to summarize where do I even start with this?
Yeah. Well, and like you said, you start with the customer at the center of it. So marketing principles are alive and well, even in the era of technology and AI and all the things we talked about today. So Deneen, Steve, that was a pleasure. I learned some things. I had a lot of fun, and I hope all of our listeners did as well. Again, if you found value in this and it was something that you felt like hit on something that you're really struggling with at your organization or something that you know someone you were talking about over coffee the other day, please subscribe to our podcast and share with your friends. So that's it for this episode of The Intersection, and we hope you'll join us for the next one. Thanks, everybody.